As we come to the end of this long Thanksgiving weekend on this Sunday, a weekend that I hope was filled with some routine, probably family, food, football, maybe a fight or argument or two. It's good to be back here, here where it all began. So many of us, we had a full church on Thanksgiving morning, dedicating the courtyard with our parish family, with Father Sharrett here. And like many of you, I had a full weekend with those typical routine things. But this year, into the routine, there was something new at our table. I noticed that into a number of conversations, my brother was adding a new expression. Dilly dilly. Perhaps you're familiar with it. It's an expression that was made popular by the Bud Light commercial called The Banquet. And it's worth looking at if you haven't seen it yet. The scene is a medieval banquet hall. The king and his court are seated at table, and the subjects come in to present gifts to the king. The first one up is Sir Jeremy, and he presents a six-pack. Sir Jeremy, you are a true friend of the crown. Dilly dilly? Come on, the 5 o'clock people. Come on. Dilly dilly. The second one up is Madame Susan. She presents a half a case. Madame Susan, you are an even truer friend of the crown. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
The third fellow up is interesting. He neither has a name or any Bud Light. And he approaches the king with this beautiful bottle. What is that? Says the king. This is spiced honey mead wine that I've been really into lately. And there's silence. Dilly dilly, right? Wrong. The king calls Sir Brad over. Send this fellow off into the pit of misery. And off he goes. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Now, with all due respect to Almighty God and to his Son, our Lord Jesus, on this feast of Christ the King, and at this banquet which is his feast, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I'd like to draw a parallel. In sacred scripture, there is no dilly-dilly. But there is an expression found in almost all the gospels that is important for us to be aware of. Truly, truly. Or sometimes translated, amen, amen. And this morning's gospel has one of those lines. We're in Matthew's gospel, so Matthew only gives one amen, but Jesus says it. And whenever he says this before an important teaching, it's an important teaching. And the gospel this morning does not get more important. Amen, I say to you, whatever you do for the least of mine, you do for me. Like the commercial we learn from this gospel, there is a judgment day. You know, we are each and every one of us someday going to stand before the King of the universe without our friends, with only the decisions that we've made on earth, to be before the King. There is also a standard by which our good King judges. And it is what we have done or not done to the least. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who is now in heaven, she's a saint of God because she was his friend on earth. She called this the five-finger gospel. You did it to me. We might even meditate on the seven-finger gospel. You did not do it to me. And you know, after a long Thanksgiving weekend, I dare say even at a 7:30 morning Sunday Mass, it's enough to wake you up. Matthew 25, if it doesn't sober you up, I'm not sure what will. And it begs some questions. What are we doing or not doing? Are we a friend of his crown, serving him with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our heart? Is this gospel the standard operating procedure of our brains and our wills? Or are we really into ourselves? I like the commercial. And part of what I like about it is that I don't like Bud Light. You know, Bud Light wouldn't make my top 25 or even my top 50 of beers. It's a humble beer. I don't like humble things too often. Humble service. It's easier to be into my own thing. Honey, spiced mead, wine. But to be about humble service, the standard, the norm, the lowly, to be a friend of his crown, which is pointy and scarred, a pile of thorns, to be a friend of his friends, the forgotten, the destitute, prostitutes, the people that no one wants to be around, to approach his throne, which is a splintered beam of wood. My friends, this is hard to do. It's humiliating. And it's so much easier to do our own thing. But the good news is this, that our King has shown us what he has done. And it's all oriented to us. It was he who came to us, who knows us, who befriends us. Read again the first reading today, Ezekiel 34. That good shepherd who transforms us. And on this feast of Christ the King, which is the last Sunday of this liturgical year, this feast gives us an opportunity to acknowledge him as King, to accept more fully his kingdom, his rule, his way of doing things, and to renounce anything that is not of him, so as to be more and more for him, for a world that is in need. And to that, we each should say amen. Amen. We enter this last week of the year. Let's use it to reflect on what we're doing and not doing, and to ready ourselves for next week, which is the beginning of a new year and the beginning of God coming to us in the season of Advent. Ready or not, He's coming. And may our hearts be so ready to walk in the way of His kingdom that to whatever He says or demands of us, we can humbly say, Amen, Amen.